Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masachet Kiddushim Daf Hei Amud Bet. And we are going to examine, now that we've seen the main derivations of Kiddushei Kesef, several nuances of how Kiddushei Kesef work. The first thing is the Tosefta, which is the first Tosefta in the Masachet. Tanu Rabbanan, Ketzad B'Kesef. How does Kesef work? Natan LaKesef Oshav Kesef. And right now we're not dealing with Pruto Dinar. Via Marla, quote, Tareat Mekudeshali, or quote, Tareat Mekudeshali, or quote, Tareat Lili Intu. Lili Intu means a wife. Harez Mekudeshet. So now he gave the money, and he made the statement, and the statement was one of, she has become Mekudeshet to him. Then it's valid. Aval, who, he should not know. If she gives him the money, Ve Amrahi, and she says, Hareni Mekudeshet Lecha, meaning, she's not taking the active role. She's presenting herself as the passive mitkadesha, but she's the one making the declaration. Then it's invalid. Now, we have a problem of the resha and the seifa, the implications of the resha and the seifa contradicting each other as follows. Matkifla Rav Papa. Tama denatan hu viamar hu. The only reason that it is valid, in other words, that which we say is valid in the Sresha, is because he gave and he made the declaration. Ha natan hu viamrahi and amakudeshit. What's the implication? That anything less than him doing both sides is not makudeshit. For instance, if he gave the money and she made the declaration, invalid. Now, Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa. He shanan lo viamrahi, she who did both. Lohavu Kiddushin is invalid. What's the implication? Tama denat nehi v'amrahi. It's only invalid because she did both. Han natanhu v'amrahi. So as long as he gave the money, even if she said it, the implication is havu Kiddushin. Because why would the Seifa pick the extreme case of her doing both being invalid? It could have picked a lighter case and said, even if he gives the money and she makes the declaration it's invalid, the fact that it didn't pick that indicates that it is valid. And now we have a contradiction between the implication of the Resha and the implication of the Seifa. So the answer they give is Resha Davka, Seifa Kadinaspa. The Resha is exact, he has to do both. The Seifa is parallel construction, which is mentioned as such. Which means that the Resha said he did both, the Seifa did she did both, it's an easier way to memorize it. However, Vatani Seifa Milta Desato La Resha. Are we going to teach something in the Seifa? It's one thing if we teach something extraneous or superfluous. Another thing if we teach something that implies a contradiction. The Satra L'Resha? Elahachi Kamar. This is how we should read the Braita. Natan hu v'yamrahu, pshitu davi kedushin. If he does both, obviously it's kedushin. Natan hu v'yamrahi, if he gave and she said, nasa kemishin nahi v'yamrahi, it's as if she gave and she said, v'lava kedushin. In other words, the Resha presents the only valid form of kedushin. Anything less than that should be considered as if she did the whole piece, and it's invalid. That's one way of looking at it. Vibaite, there's another way to read it, which is, Natanu v'yamarhu mekudeshet. Nanahi v'amrahi ena mekudeshet. In other words, both extremes are exactly what they say they are. The ratio where he does everything is valid, the safe where she does everything is invalid, and Natanu v'yamrahi, but if he gives and she says, Sveika hi v'chashinam andarabanan. Then it really is in the middle, and we really don't know what the status is, and therefore, midrabanan, we say she would need a get if they decided not to remain married, but they would need another kedushin if they wanted to be married. Now, important to note that all of the discussion here takes place around him giving, and then the other question is, well, what if she made the declaration? But we don't ask the flip question about what if she were to give and he was to make the declaration. And the reason for that is some of the Rishonim point out here, says there are circumstances where if she gives the money, it's going to be valid, as we will discover over the course of the next couple of podcasts. All right, now Shmuel presents a nuance, which looks to be one nuance, really is a different one about Kiddushin. Amar Shmuel. Big Kiddushin, in the context of Kiddushin, Natan LaKesef Oshav HaKesef. He's patterning after the Tosefta. V'marlo Mekudesh HaRehem U'Rasset HaRehat Lili Intu, same phrasing as the Tosefta, HaRezim Kudeshet. But, now he takes a different tack from the Tosefta. The Tosefta was worried about who's speaking. Now Shmuel is going to say, even if he speaks, the perspective of the declaration has got to be that he's taking her to him. Hareini Ishech, I am now your husband. Hareini Baalech, Hareini Arusech, I am now your fiancé. Ein kan bet meichu. Says there's nothing to it. There's nothing to worry about. It's not absolute akedushin. V'chein begerushin, and the parallel thing works with get. If he gives her a get and says, you're now sent away, you're divorced, you're now mutted everybody, hareiz mugureshet. But eini ishech, eini balech, eini eruseich, I am no longer your husband, I am no longer your fiancé, ein kan bet meichus. There's nothing to worry about, it's such a nothing that there's not even a concern that it may be valid. Meaning that both in Kiddushin and Gerushin, not only does the man have to make the declaration, but the flavor of the declaration must be that he is the active one moving her either in or out of the relationship. Now, Shmuel, if you notice in the thing said, in his statement, said that if you say Haret Mekudeshet, he didn't say the word Li. Now, Amalar Papa Labayev, Papa picks up on this nuance and says, shall we think that Shmuel holds, and this is really a sugi nadarim, that yadayim in nazir, that yadayim shen mochichot. Remember, yad in aflah is an abbreviated statement, like a handle that you grab onto, and yadayim shen mochichot is an abbreviated statement which is not clear content wise, but is clear contextually as to what its meaning is. There's a machloket whether or not yadayim shen mochichot. We have this at the end of Gittin. Are considered to be valid formulations or not. It sounds like Shmuel says that they are valid because he says Harat Mekudesh, it didn't say Li, but contextually, because he's the one giving the money, it's clear that it means to him and therefore it's valid. But Shmuel doesn't believe that. Vatnan, Ha'omer Ehe, we have this in Nazir, if a person says Ehe, which is a formulation, could be a formulation of some sort of a haflaw, Hareza Nazir, the Mishnah says Hareza Nazir, and we asked the question on that discussion, in studying that Mishnah, we asked, perhaps Ehe means I'm taking on a fast, or some other kind of a haflaw, which is not Nazirut. How do we know it's Nazirut? Shmuel says it only works if a Nazir is standing there, walking past, and you point to him and you say Ehe, which means I'm going to be like him. So Shmuel clearly believes that if you say Ehe, and there is no Nazir passing in front of you, even though you meant Nazirut, it's not valid. So you see that Shmuel holds that Yadayim Shein Mochichot Lo Havin Yadayim. And here it seems to be saying that it is Yadayim. So Achmaskin and Damar Li, the answer is that Shmuel was not giving the full formulation. Shmuel, of course, meant that you say Haret Mekudeshet Li, Haret Mureset Li, Haret Li Li Intu. Right? Then it's valid. And if that's the case, so what's Shmuel teaching? The answer is, what he's teaching is the invalid formulations. He wasn't there to teach about omitting Li being valid. Li is something you got to say, so it's clear that you're not acting as a shaliach to betroth her to somebody else, but rather that you're the one who's betrothing her. He came to teach, rather, that the second set of formulations in both Kiddushin and Gerushin are invalid. Why? Hachaktiv ki yikach. The Torah says if a man takes a woman, velosh yikach datzmo. Not that he takes himself to her, but he takes her to him. V'hachaktiv, and in the context of Gittin, it says, v'shilcha, he sends her out, velosh yishlach datzmo, as opposed to sending himself away. Good, so that means that the Torah describes the formulation of these relationships as being focused around the man as the active and directing member of the pair. Okay, now we take a look at another braita, Tana Rabbanan, which is going to deal again with formulations. Hare, Tana Rabbanan, Hare at Ishti, Hare at Arusati, Hare at Knuyali. So these are now variations on Mekudeshet. You're my wife, you're my betrothed, you are acquired to me, Mekudeshet. Those are valid formulations. Of course, they have to come along with Kasef or Star B, etc. Hare at Shali, you are mine, Hare at Birshuti, you're in my domain, Hare at Zukukali, you're now connected to me, Mekudeshet. These are all forms that are valid. Now, the Gemara asks a parenthetical question, why is the Braita say three and Mekudeshet and another three and Mekudeshet? Why doesn't just list all six and say they're all valid? The answer is Tana Tlat Tlat Shaminu Vigarsinu. The Tana heard them as two separate groups of three, and that's how he memorized them, and we don't mess around with the memorized version of the text. Okay, now that we have that, Ibayaluhu, we now have the following series of 10 questions that are very short questions, which all take words that either in their implication or in their scriptural reference, and you take a look at Rashi, goes through all the psukim, may be an allusion to marriage, but may not be. Miuchedet limahu. Miuedet limahu. That's from Shmot Chafalef. Ezratimahu, or Negdatimahu from Breshit Bet. Atsuratimahu. Rashi brings two different suggestions there, from perhaps from Shmuel Aleph Chafalef. Tzilatimahu, Breshit Bet again. Zguratimahu, again Breshit Bet. Those four, Ezrati, Negdati, Tzilati, and Zgurati, are clearly associated with the primordial operation that created woman out of man. Tachti mahu, which may be associated with that also. Atsurati may also be from there. Tfusati mahu, my catch. Lukuchati mahu, my take, which may be associated, of course, with kiikach. Now, we have these 10 different questions. We don't know whether they're valid formulations. And we're going to see what the context of the question is a little bit later on. But in the meantime, Shot Miachara, one of them we can answer, which is number 10. Titania Haomer Lukuchati or Rezum Kudeshet. Lukuchati is a valid phrasing. Why? Mishum Shinamar Kikach Yishisha, because that really is right out of the key pasuk about Kiddushin, which is Ki Yikach. All right. Again, we'll get back to this. Ibayaluhu, another question is asked. Question 11. Charufatimahu. And this goes back to the passage about a shifcha charufa. And there's a machloka between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel who the shifcha charufa is. But she's charufa le'ish, meaning she's in some way associated with an Eved Ivri, she's a half shifcha bat chorin, she's a full shifcha kanadi, married to an Eved Ivri, unclear. Toshma. We have a braita that answers that. Ha'omer charufati mekudeshet. Charufati is valid. Why? Not because of the pasuk. She came to Yehuda, Korin Arusa Charufa. Because in Yehuda, they call an Arusa. That's their nickname. Charufa. My Charufa. Yehuda, Havi Ruba Dalma. Since when does Yehuda, the area of Yehuda, set the tone for the entire world? Because in Yehuda, they have this strange nickname for betrothed women. Therefore, the entire world, when they say Charufa, we know that that's what they mean. That's a very strange idea. Hachikamar. So now we have to fix the braita. Ha'omer charufati mekudeshet, shenemar v'shivcha nechrefet l'ish. V'yod v'yehuda korin l'arusa charufa. We know that in the braita, there's a mention of this Judean custom of calling an arusa charufa. So we fix the braita by saying, charufa is a valid phrase because there's a pasuk. And besides that, in Yehuda they call it. And then we have a different problem. V'yehuda v'od likra. It's a very common phrase that's used in a lot of contexts. Whenever a very secondary proof is brought after a very solid proof. If Yehuda v'od likra, you have a pasuk, you need the minhag of Yehuda, the pasuk's not good enough. So, Ela hachikama, this is how we have to fix it. Omer charufa b'Yehuda mekudeshet. Shkem Yehuda koin narusa charufa, and the pasuk drops out, and the universal application drops out, and in Yehuda, charufa is valid, because in Yehuda, that's what they refer to, which, by the way, tells us a lot. It means that the phrasing of the valid phrasing of a declaration of Kiddushin is very much dependent on local colloquy and on the phrases that are used here as opposed to having some universal standard, which of course is very reasonable, but it's nice to see it. Now, by my asking it, the question in all of these cases, what is the context? If they weren't talking at the time about getting married, or, shall we say in the other case, about getting divorced, but for right now, about getting married. These two people are talking, and they're talking about whatever they're talking about. They're not talking at all. They're just sitting and eating ice cream. And then he turns around and says, Hare atfusati. So, my kamerla, how is she going to have any idea from context what he's talking about? It must be that they were talking about getting married. Gita here is what we call a shugas lashon. It's thrown in because in other places they're thrown together. Here it's only kiddushin. And you'll see the context in a minute, where getting and Kiddushin come together. It must be that the guy was talking to her about getting betrothed. And then in the middle he said, Hariat, gave her a dollar, or gave her a pruta, and said, Hariat, tfusati, Hariat, atsurati, whatever it is. So then, even if he says nothing, because the halacha is as follows, that non, we have the Mishnah in Ma'aser Sheni, Hayam the Brahmi Shaliske Gita Kiddusha. This is brought along with the issue of Hafrashat Maser Sheni when you're involved in the context of it. Chil Maser Sheni, you're involved in the context of it and you don't make the declaration. So the same machlok that we'll see here also applies to the Indian of Maser Sheni. And that's why it's there. Hayam the Brahmi Shaliske Gita Kiddusha. If a man was talking to a woman about Gitin or Kiddushin, he's talking to his wife about the divorce that's coming up, or he's talking to his intended about their kiddushin that's coming up. And then he gave her respectively either the get or the kiddushin. Velo pirush, and he said nothing. So talking about kiddushin, and he gave her in front of Edim. He gave her shava pruta. Rabbi Yossi Mardayo, Rabbi Yossi says that's enough. You don't need a declaration. If you don't make tzarich lefarish, Rabbi Yossi says no. You have to make a declaration. If you have a vuna marshua halacha ke Rabbi Yossi, the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. You do not need a declaration. Which means that if, in the context of all these odd phrases, they were already talking about the kiddushin, and then he said something bizarre like kariat fusati and gave her shava pruta. Even if he said nothing, it'd be valid. So why would Arayat Fusati be the question that we say we don't know how to solve it? You don't even need to say anything, because halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. And if they weren't talking about it, then how would she know what that weird phrase means? So Amri, our answer was, Le'olam b'daber yimai aliske gitav kiddushah. The context is they were talking about getting kiddushin. V'idoiv lavashati kachinami. You're right, if he gave it to her and said nothing. So they're sitting and talking about what your family's custom is for Kiddushin, my family's custom for Kiddushin, when should we have the Kiddushin, let's do it right now, okay, and he gives her the money and doesn't say Rukudeshitli, then it's valid. Right, then Hachinami. Hachamai Askina, what's the case here? Diyav lava amar lava hani leishti. He gave it to her and he used these weird phrases. Tfusati, whatever it may be. Vachikami ba'ile, and here's our question. Hani leishti Kiddushi kamar la, should these phrases, tfusati, atsurati, miyuchedetli, should they be understood as Kiddushin? Or perhaps he means, you'll come and work for me, you'll come and do chores at my house, however each one of those phrases could be associated. Teku. So that's why we're stuck with a teku. The context here, we're saying, had to be the two of them were already talking about Kiddushin, and he gave her the Shavah Pruta in the presence of Edim, and had he said nothing more because we rule like Rabbi Yossi, it would have been fine, without questions asked. The fact that he used a phrase, and it was an odd phrase, now raises a question. Maybe he's diverting the conversation from one of Kiddushin to some other kind of relationship, and therefore we're stuck with a teku. All right, we're going to go back now and take a look at the Mishnah from Maaseh Sheni and the attendant discussion. Kufa. Hayam de Rei Maisha, this gay gita for Kiddushav, and Tamla gita for Kiddushav, lo pirash, v'yosim adai, v'yudom mer tzarech lefaresh. I'm Rav Shmuel. All right, so, from Rav Yudom or Shmuel. Now remember, Rav Huna, quoting Shmuel, said that the halacha is like Rav Yossi. Rav Yehuda quotes Shmuel as adding a piece to this, which is v'husha sukin v'oto inyan. They can't just have been talking about Kiddushin a little while ago. At the time, they have to be involved in discussing Kiddushin. V'chen amar Rav Lazar, amar Rav Oshaya. So there's a tradition also in Eretz Yisrael. V'husha sukin v'oto inyan. So everybody understood, within Babylon and Eretz Yisrael, they understood that Rav Yossi only saw this as sufficient if they were talking about the issue. Ketanoi, and this follows the following machloket Tanaim of later Tanaim than Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Omer v'husha sukin boto inyan. Rabbi Shimon Omer afisha ena sukin boto inyan. Here's what happened. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, in the what we call the fourth generation of Tanaim, had a disagreement about whether you need a formal declaration or, as long as they were discussing it, and then he gave her the money, that's enough. That's Rabbi Yossi. We all rule like Rabbi Yossi, but in the fifth generation, a Talmud of Rabbi Yossi, Rebbe, felt that Yossi's position is only if, at the time of the money, they're talking about the issue. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon disagreed and said, no, even if they weren't talking about the issue. Alright, so now, but if they aren't talking about Kiddushin right now and he gives her money, how's she going to understand what the context is? There's no dot here. So the answer is, what Rabbi Lazar Shimon means is not that they're talking now about baseball or they're not talking anything. They're talking about Kiddushin, but things around the Kiddushin. In other words, they're not talking about the Kiddushin itself. They're talking about whether they're going to really buy a house in the country or whether they're going to move to Israel or whether they're going to have this many kids or something that's reflective of their plans to have a life together, but not about the Kiddushin itself. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Shmuel, Alach Rabbi Yossi. That we already saw. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Ashi. Ve'alhada Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Kol she'ino yodev etiv gitin v'kiddushin lo yehilo esek imahem. We have another ruling of Shmuel, which is anybody who's not an expert in all of the laws of gitin and kiddushin should not have anything to do with them. A person should not be mesader gitin unless he knows all the ins and outs of gitin. A person should not be mesader kiddushin unless he knows all of the details. Afilo shmiel lehad Rav Huna, Amar Shmuel. Is that true? Even if he doesn't know this one rule, that halacha Rabbi Yossi? So Amar Le'in Achinami, yeah, that too. In other words, to be an expert in Kiddushin, you have to know everything, including that particular rule, which is in the very unlikely circumstance that somebody is sitting there and they're having a discussion and they're discussing about Kiddushin, and then he gives her money in front of Adim and doesn't say Aram Kodeshitli that it's still valid Kiddushin. He needs to know that too. Alright, it said, V'chein Begerushin, Atam La Gitav Amar La'in Ushalach, Harayim Gureshin, Ratar L'chol Adam, Harayim Gureshin. Good, so this is the second half of Shmuel's statement. All right. Pshita, we know that Atan la gitav marlam lishto hariat bat chorin. We have this at the end of Gittin. That if he gives her the get and says, you're now a free woman, lo marvelo kum, that's meaningless because that's a phrase that applies to shifcha knanit, not to isha. Amarla l'shifchato hariat muteret l'chol adam. If on the other hand he said to his shifcha, you're now permitted to marry any man, Lomar v'lokum, it's also nothing, because again, the phrasing has nothing to do with being freed from avdut. It has to do with a status that's of marriage. What if he says to his wife, gives her the get, and says, you're now independent? This goes back to the same question we just asked. Does that refer to financially? Meaning, we're still married, but we're making the arrangement with any zanach, and you can keep your own malacha. Is that what he means? Maybe he meant divorce. So how do we understand latzmech? Let's see. The Tanya gufo shel get shichru harayata ben chorin harayata latzmecha. A harayata latzmecha. This is the Mishnah at the end of Gittin. Is a perfectly fine phrase for a shtar shichur of an eved. Now, hashta, let's take a look. Uma eved kanani de koni le gufe, an eved kanani, you own his body. Kamerle, arayata latzmacha legamre kamerle. When you say arayata latzmacha, it means you're totally on your own. Ishar lo koni le gufa lo kol shaken, and it's kind of turning the reasoning inside out, but he's saying if a woman who you have less control over than of an eved, you say arayata latzmacha, for an eved, it totally frees him. Certainly, in the case of a woman, it totally disassociates her, which means it's a good phrase of divorce. Now, Amalei Rav Noah Rashi, Amar Avdo in the Esek Bach Mai. And again, this is in the piece exactly appears in the end of Gittin. We had it about 7 or 8 podcasts ago. Ravina says to Rav, asks Rav Ashi, what if you said to your eved, I have nothing to do with you? Is that a phrase of shichru or not? So Miyamrin in the Isak Bach Lagamri Kamrale doesn't mean I have nothing to do with you, you're free. O Dilma Lamlocha Kamrale, maybe means you can work for yourself, I'm not gonna feed you. Alright. Amrav Nachman the Rashi. So he said, Va'amri Larav Chanin Michazona Lravashi. Michoza Lravashi. So one of Ravashi's students said to him, or colleagues, Toshma. We have the Mishnah in the fourth parak of Gittin. Now Mocher Abdullah of Deidko Ved Kochavim Yatzal Cherut, Tzarech Get Shichur Mirabo Rishon. If you sell, this is a knas, if you sell your Eved Kanani to a non-Jew, even in Israel, or staying within Chutz La'aretz, he goes free, and you, the seller, have to give him a get shichur. Shem Gamliel med v'amorim shelo katav al avono. That's only if, Shem Gamliel says, that's only if the first master who sold him did not write ono. Well, katav al avono, but if he did write an on, zeo shichro, that's good enough. Hechidami ono, what is ono? Rav Sheshet, the Chatavle that he wrote, L'chshitivrachimenu, and he's Esek Bach. I'm selling you to this non-Jew, and if you run away from him, I have nothing more to do with you, which means I'm relinquishing all holds, which means Ein Li Esek Bach is a very clear and good phrasing for liberating an Eved. All right, so we settled that. Now we have an interruption here, which really has nothing to do with our sugya, and is a second parak sugya, which we'll get into in a month and a half or so. Amar baye hamakadesh b'milva ein mekudeshet. If you are makadesh a woman b'milva, meaning you had lent her money, and then you said keep the money, that's no good. B'hanot milva mekudeshet v'asol asot kemnei harav ribit. If you are makadesh, we'll explain what this means. If you're makadesh with the benefit of a loan, then it's valid, but you're not allowed to do so because it's kind of like taking advantage, kind of like tricking around ribit. Now, hi hanot milva echidami. What is the hanot milva? If it's that he said that you have to pay me back 5, and now the 5th you keep as kiddushin, sorry, that is ribit. He lent her 4; she's going to have to pay him back 4, And then, but he's saying, I'm a kaddish you with the fifth, and I'm not going to ask you to pay back. That's totally ribbit. V'yorahinu milva, and that exactly is a milva. So what is hanat milva? What happened is that he extended the time period. In other words, he had originally lent her money for a month. And then he says, you know what, I'll let you pay me back in 2 months. And with the benefit that you get of being able to keep the money for another month, I'll be mekadesh you. And she says, yes, so that is kiddushin, but it looks like haramat ribit. All right, last piece for this podcast. Amarava, helachmona, and this is for those listening to the podcast currently, just before Sukkot, this is very relevant. Helachmona almanat shetachzireihu li. If a man gives another person money or something on condition that he returns it. So in all sorts of other areas, let's see how they deal with it. Mecher lo kana. Let's say that it's a sale of something. Rava's original read seems to be that it is not a valid sale, which means I'm buying something for kesef. Meaning it's a Kenyan kesef. I'm going to give you kesef, but I give you the kesef on condition you return it to me. I'm buying karka. I owe you $1 million for the karka, but in the meantime, I'm being kona b'kesef. Here's the prut on condition you give it back to me. Lo kana. It's invalid. Be'ishai namakudeshet. If you give a woman a kiddushin and say, here's the pruta, I'm not that you return it to me, no good. Be'pidyon ha-ben ein b'no padui. If you give that to a kohen for pidyon ha-ben, on condition he returns it, kid's not redeemed. Be'truma yatsai yidei netina. If you give a kohen truma, so I'm giving this to you on condition that you return it to me, you fulfilled the mitzvah of giving it to the kohen. You're not allowed to do it because it looks like the Kohen, like this problem of a Kohen who comes and works in your granary to get the Truma, which of course is not how Truma is supposed to be given. Now the question is, Micah Savar Rava, what's Rava's position on Matana Amanat Lahachzir, a gift that's given on condition to be returned? Because remember, if you don't fulfill the condition, then a gift's not a gift. If you give somebody a coin saying, condition, return it to me, and they don't return it to you, then that means now they're a Goslem. So what's his position? If he believes that that's a valid gift, they should all be valid. Why Mecher not? And why Isha not? And why Pidyon HaBen not? Right? If he thinks it's not considered a gift when the condition of the gift being valid is that he returns it, then Truma should not be good either. And it's his position, which is split, raises a question of conceptual integrity and consistency. We know that Rava holds the Maton Manan Lahachzer is good. Why the Amar Rava? If a person, and this is on the first day of Yontif, when you have to own the Arba Minim, and so a fellow doesn't have Arba Minim, the other fellow says to him, here, take this Etrog, the Arba Minim, on condition you return it to me, the fellow takes it, shakes it, returns it, then he's Yotze, because now the gift was a gift, and he fulfilled the condition, so the gift is now a gift. If he never returns it, then he's not Yotze, because now retroactively, the entire time it was Nigzal, and Lulav HaGozel is his puzzle. So now we know the following. We know that Rava's position, the way we read it, seems to be inconsistent. It seems to generally follow the lines that a matana manat lachzir is invalid, except for some bizarre reason, truma, it's valid. And on the other hand, we know that Rava explicitly said that in the case of our dalad minim, it is valid. So we have to fix it. Alamar Ravashi b'chulu kani. Ravashi says, really, in all the cases that were mentioned in the first statement of Rava, we read it wrong. Really, they're all valid. Levarmi Isha, the only exception is Isha. In other words, what we knew was that Rava had three cases where it's one way and one case where it's the other way. We originally thought three cases were invalid and one, Truma, was valid. Now realize that we had the numbers right, we had the direction wrong. Three cases are valid because we know Rava holds in general Matama la Vahaksa Shma Matana. But in one case, it was invalid, and what was that? Kiddushin. Why? Lefisha in Isha niknet b'chalipin. You have to take a look at the Tosfot here, take a look at the Ramban here. The Rishonim discuss why a matanamat al-achzir would not work because of the issue of chalipin. Yes, we're not giving it as chalipin, you're giving it as kasef. Amar Rav Huna bar Mar b'Reidu Rav Nechemya l'Rav Ashi. So, he said to Rav Ashi, Yachamin Mishmei d'Rava Kavatech. He said, by the way I heard the ruling from Rav was exactly the way you fixed it. In other words, Rav Ashi intuitively corrected the report that he heard in the name of Rava and later got support and substantiation of it from people who had a different tradition from Rava that read exactly the way that he had it, which is that a gift given on condition to be returned is always valid except in the case of Isha, because either, and there's a girsa the Ramban brings, because it may be a only Drabonan, and here we have another case of Afkeinu, where the Rabbanan uproot Kiddushin that they deem invalid, even though Doraita they're valid, because it looks too much like Chalipin, or because it really is Chalipin, because she does not have permanent Hana'ah from this, because she can't keep it. Again, like, take a look at the Rishonim here. Alright, we'll pause at this point. We have a very exciting sugi coming up in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.